What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. It's a Hertz day on the WIP afternoon show.
Our guy.
I like that.
With Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
How many Hertz days have we had?
On parade eve. Well, he earned it. He earned it.
Okay.
Ike, how you feeling?
Feeling good, Brother Spike.
Yeah?
We are on the eve. Will be the biggest party of the year in Philadelphia.
Madness.
I've been drinking that Ike juice.
Man, oh, man. It'll be flowing.
Listen. My only regret is I am not going to be able to join everybody in the Ike Juice partaking tomorrow, but I'll be there. I'll be there with you. I will be there with you in spirit, and who knows? May sneak one or two in.
Uh-oh.
I'm just saying. I can't help it. Jackie Fritz. Listen, Jackie Baseball, I know you did your little High Hopes podcast today.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Yep, yes. Yep. And I got to be honest. You're handling this as well as you can, man.
I got a big smile on my face.
You do. You really do.
Yeah, it's a great time for the city.
It really is. Get into it. Get into it. Holler at your boy.
See, I am in the gatekeeping business.
Yeah, you are.
Get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But excited to be here. And like Ike, no Ike juice tomorrow, but may partake.
Yeah, me neither. And I won't partake. So I'm a psychopath. Meanwhile, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. We have the parade tomorrow. Meanwhile, I'm doing a podcast about the stupid Sixers last night. Jack's doing one about the Phillies.
It's by myself, too.
Yeah.
And you broke down the amount of time you've committed to this franchise with the Sixers this year?
This year, between games and podcasts alone, I will have committed almost 14 total days of my life when you add up all the hours to this Sixers season alone.
Well, and they fought so hard last night against an undermanned Nets team.
Yes.
Man,
I want that time back! All right. Anyway, it's a big show that has really nothing to do with either of those things. We will have Anshul Kapadia to recap the Super Bowl and the Eagles season, maybe a little look ahead if I'm allowed. Mike Mayock will join us at 4. Same thing with Mike and the top 5 at 5. But today, we've done this a couple of times, and today is Tell the Truth Thursday on the WIP Afternoon Show. We know that you believed in all of the Eagles players before the season. And we know that you thought they were all going to be great. But on Tell the Truth Thursday, what we want from you is the person on the Eagles, player or coach, who surprised you the most this year, who defied your expectations. I guess it could be, bad. Most of them were better than you would think.
Yeah, I was going to say, there could be a couple in there.
Yeah, a couple, maybe. But who surprised you the most on the WIP Afternoon Show today? Ike, I will send it to you first.
Yeah, I got to go with the biggest one is Zach Bond. Listen, when they signed Zach Bond, I was like, okay, I know who Zach Bond is, but who is Zach Bond? So when they made that signing, there was barely a ripple in the water from us as a fan base. I think most of us felt like if he can come in and be a solid contributor on all four phases of your special teams and be a solid backup for you, that'd be more than good for us. Like, there just wasn't very much of an expectation there, and I was one of those people that didn't have a whole lot of expectations from Zach Bond this year. And it goes without question, he has exceeded most of any of our expectations. Hell, Zach even told you he exceeded his own expectations.
Howie's expectations.
Yes.
Maybe the only person who knew was Fangio.
And I don't know if Fangio knew this.
Yeah.
Yes, he probably knew that you got something there and you work with it. But, yeah, what a pleasant surprise Zach has been for this defense, for this team. And, man, it's hard to envision this defense moving forward without him. Now, in the thing with Zach, right, because N'Kobe was more of the vocal leader over there. He wore the green dot as sort of the middle linebacker. And Zach was more than happy to play his role as that guy, just go out there and play football. But when N'Kobe went down, Zach had to take on more of a vocal leadership role. And I'm sure he did that throughout the year. So just wasn't his play on the field. It was also his leadership off the field. And somebody had to quarterback that defense. And I thought Zach stepped up, embraced that role, excelled at that role. And really, I understand they won the Super Bowl, so that always is going to sort of, he's going to always have a place in our hearts. But I think his play and his story has also earned him a place in a lot of fans' heart, because this is the underdog town. This is the town of overachieving and overcoming obstacles. And this dude is in line for a big payday, and the Eagles should be the one giving it to him. Yeah, Zach Bond, our defensive player of the year.
Tell the truth Thursday, 215-592-9494. Who surprised you most on the Eagles this year? Could be player, could be coach. Mine is going to be Nolan Smith. And BG on the Brandon Graham show has, you know, actually was very happy with me that I admitted to him about how wrong I was on Nolan Smith. And Nolan Smith, I take you back to the final preseason game. And we all noted that Nolan Smith was the only guy that you could have expected might be a starter, was playing almost the entire third preseason game while everybody else was on the sidelines. And I watched Nolan Smith and I said, this guy's probably going to be a bust. I mean, he's too small. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. And not only did Nolan Smith get better as the year went on, Nolan Smith is not just fast. Like, Nolan Smith is ferocious, is really strong. And by the time the Super Bowl came around, he was all over the place. Mm-hmm. He was getting the quarterback. He was running over offensive linemen. And he got better and better and better as the year went on. And not only is he not a bust, but he is now a future piece. I mean, he is a guy that you can look at next season and say, okay, on one edge, we know who's going to be there. That's Nolan Smith. Mm-hmm. So for me, the guy who surprised me the most was Nolan Smith. Jack, who surprised you the most?
So the guy that surprised me the most is someone who maybe I was the most wrong about, and someone I have to really eat my words as to, this guy really proved to be elite this season.
I know what you're doing.
And that's Nick Sirianni.
Right.
Nick Sirianni, I think, put himself into the upper echelon of NFL coaches with what he did this year. And I'm shocked. Like, when the 2-2 yelling at the fans, shaving his head, I was like, this is over. This is after what happened at the end of last year, losing 6-7, starting kind of slow, offense not looking great, the Jalen comments in the offseason, it felt like it was crumbling from the outside. I know inside they believed, and that's great. And they rallied around Nick, and it worked. I'm shocked, frankly, that Nick is where we are. And I am as pro-Nick as I am, because I was just about as out as I could be on Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
And he won me over. And even him running up and down the sidelines acting like a player didn't annoy me on the mic.
High-stepping.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man.
Act like you've been there before, which I usually am. He's endearing. And I'm ready to say the L word with Nick. I love Nick.
Wow. That is a big leap. And I'm with you on
anybody.
Besides MV3.
I think I arrived on Nick earlier than you did, but I started at the same place. I was like, oh, this ain't ever going to work. And when we got to the bye week, I was like, this might not last through the season. And I'm in the same place. The guy is obviously a great coach. Mm-hmm. And the players let you know it. And now the results let you know it as well. And I didn't see that come from Sirianni either.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. It's Tell the Truth Thursday on the WIP Afternoon Show. Who surprised you most on the Eagles? Our leadoff hitter today, Corey from Columbus. You're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Hey, man, this is a tough topic for me because, you know, my batting percentage is like, you know, .95 right now.
Yeah, you're right about everyone. Everyone's the greatest.
That's why it's Tell the Truth Thursday. You got to be honest, deep down in your gut.
I think I had, you know, top five defense. You know, I had the coach. I had the quarterback. I got a bone to pick with Spike at the end of the call. So I'm gonna give y'all a shocker right here. Look,
okay.
So the person who surprised me, and Jack can tell you this because you mean this is like before you, Spike, was Saquon. And y'all probably gonna be like, "What you mean?" Like I always thought that this running game, no matter who the back was gonna be able to, you know, we had Miles Sanders, we had DeAndre Swift, but what Saquon Barkley did might be the great, like, in history, like, I know he didn't break the rushing record, Ike, but it's like, it's the greatest rushing record, the greatest rushing
season sure.
that he had ever.
For
in
sure.
In a passing era. Like, this is the era that quarterbacks throwing the ball 4,000, 5,000 yards.
Yeah.
This dude ran the ball, jumping over backwards. And he a Penn State product. And I'm not high on Penn State player, you know, stepchild of the Big Ten. You know, so I'm always down on their players. I don't never really want nobody out of Penn State. So when we got Saquon, you know, I'm like, you know, I got to see it. I saw what he did with the Giants, you know. You know, I'm like, yeah, you know, he usually don't really – he get tackled. And I was always like, oh, he only a 1-2-yard guy. Only reason why he get big numbers is because he break one every once a game or whatever. But when he came here and did it, I'm like, this dude – I'm like, oh, he going to break one. If I once a game, we knew he was going to get a 50 or 60-yarder. And it's like, teams went into the game. We going to stop this dude. The Chiefs' whole defense changed – because they had to stop that guy.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't stop us because they had to stop. They had to sell out 10 guys to stop that guy.
Yep.
That dude surprised me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's impressive, too, because I don't think anybody, even you, it's not like you thought he wasn't good.
Right.
You knew he was good. But for him to be that surprising.
He was better than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah. He was the best player in the league this year.
I got a bone to pick with you, Spike. You know, always. Once a call. You my guy. It's all love, y'all.
Yep.
Spike, yesterday when I got, like, I'm like Yoshi. If you got something to say it to me on the call. Don't say it once I hang up.
Wait, what did
say
I say?
On here.
What did I say?
You said, is Corey really a Jalen fan or he an Eagles fan? First of all, I do this for all my quarterbacks. I roll for five. Okay. I roll for the Broncos.
For the Broncos. He was there.
I changed on the Bronco when he said he wanted out.
Yep.
That's why I changed on it.
Yep.
So this is the thing. The reason why I ride so hard for the quarterback is because people don't give him the credit. It's like everybody – he's the most criticized person. People come up here and they say, oh, what if Josh Allen had this? What if this – we don't do that for no other position. We don't say, oh, what if Bijan Robinson had this O-line? What if Josh Jacobs had this – we don't say, maybe if we had Jamar Chase, we would throw the ball more. We don't say that. So why do we do it to him? You know what I'm saying? That's why
we do that to every quarterback.
No, but we don't do that to – we don't do that to every position, though.
No, but we do it to every quarterback. That every quarterback. That, I mean, there's a reason why, you know, it's an interesting thing. And you're right, Corey. We don't do it to every position. But there's a reason why they also get outsized credit. They get outsized blame and they get outsized credit, right? It was Jalen on the Fallon show, not the number one defense in the NFL, right? It'll be Jalen that is in Disney World. It'll be Jalen that will be the face of the team. It'll be Jalen. He's the only guy on the team who gets to count team wins as a personal stat. And I agree with you that the blame is probably outsized to what he should be blamed for, but the credit is also probably outsized too. And that's every quarterback. It's not just Jalen.
Right, but that's the reason why he should get the most credit is because he gets the most blame.
Sure, I think that's fair.
When the losses are dropped at his feet, it's magnified when he does it. So, you know, when you got certain people on the team saying, oh, if my quarterback said this and all that, yeah, because he the one that gets the blame. Nobody blame you unless you make tweets. They don't blame you for your drops in the playoffs.
Uh-oh.
They blame that guy.
Yeah.
That's why he gets the credit. You know what I'm saying? That's all. I'm an Eagle till I die, baby. I see y'all tomorrow. I'm gonna bring you a brew. We having a little Ike juice.
I love it. Love it.
All right, Corey.
Be safe heading now here, man.
Corey driving from Columbus. We've heard from somebody driving from Florida.
Yep.
We heard Chicago, I think. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was driving from Chicago out here.
Yeah.
That's
about
a
6-hour ride.
Yeah. From Columbus?
From Columbus,
okay.
Yeah.
That's not that bad. I'll give him that much credit, though.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if his meal on the turnpike is 5.5.
That's right. Yeah. You got the jersey in you. You're actually more South Jersey driver than Philly.
No, but I come through here.
I know.
Yeah, I got to come through the Northeast.
Yep. Wait, you got to come through the Northeast. What do you mean?
Off the Northeast, Northeast
oh,
extension.
Oh, extension, right, yeah, right, extension. To the Turnpike.
Yep, yeah. Turnpike, and yep. Come down.
Who do you think, we can get someone further, like, who's the furthest away?
Driving.
Yeah, coming.
Somebody's coming from Florida, right?
Yeah, I bet somebody is coming from overseas.
And I bet someone's coming from
California. They're not driving from overseas.
No, well, unless they got a new kind of car.
Yeah. Someone driving from California, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
That's
all right.
A long ride.
That's
a long ride.
So if you have, Florida, depending on where you are, is about 24 hours, right?
Yes.
Drive. So
yes.
If you're listening and you're coming from further away from that, we would love to hear from you. We've heard
you're the bottom of Florida is 24 hours.
Right.
You're
right.
The top, it's probably 18.
Okay, from like Jacksonville. Jacksonville's the top.
Yeah, right? Up there.
215-592-9494. It's Tell the Truth Thursday on the WIP Afternoon Show. Who surprised you most with the Eagles this year? Can be player or coach. Israel and Wet in Southwest Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, man?
Hi, John. What's happening, baby?
What's up, Israel?
Did you say John?
Yeah, hey, that's your real name.
That's your real name.
Yeah. Why don't you both pipe down there?
Before I start this, I want to say congratulations. Y'all Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, we sure
are.
Yeah.
Champions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
It feels good.
Sounds like you're not one of us.
It feels good. Yes, it feels good. Now, let's get to the meat and potatoes at hand. Hey, John, you can't steal my answer, brother. Nick Sirianni, he's the guy that's most surprised me.
That's okay. You can have the same answer.
You can have the same answer.
Yeah. What did you think?
He stole my thunder.
Let me ask you this. Where were you at him before the year, and then where were you at with him at the bye week? Like, what did you think of him to start?
To start, I never was a fan of a guy that, you know, was wearing or talking about growing flowers and wearing Philadelphia paraphernalia. Like, that's not going to get me to like you. To get me to like you is to do the job, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not a fan of Nick Sirianni, you know what I'm saying? Like how Spike feels about Jalen, I feel about Nick Sirianni. But, you know, he surprised me, and it was a call in the Giants game, the last game where he was going to go for it. I can't recall when, but he was going to go for it. He did it, and it showed me maturity. And I was like, oh, dang, this guy is really mature. Because for me, you're the manager of the team. That's your job, to manage the team. And a lot of management, I wasn't impressed with it at all. But after that, I was like, okay, this guy, he's maturing, you know. So I'm in the work van right now with my coworkers, and one of my coworkers asked me today this morning. He asked me something about Nick, and I had to give him his props. I'm like, yeah, Nick was around for all these wins. Nick was around for everything that's been done. So I got to give him his props. So
yeah.
He surprised me. He came along, and I think he's matured.
Yeah, I think the thing, too, about Nick is that he has grown.
Yes.
He is a different coach now and a different person now than he was a year ago and 2 years ago and 3 years ago.
Yep.
And he is at the age where, you know, this is his first head coaching job. He's a young guy relative to other head coaches in the NFL. So there is that room if he's willing. And I think he was willing, which you have to give him credit for as well.
Yep.
I give him credit for that. Now, can I say my number two? Which I agree with Spike. And it was Nolan Smith.
Okay, all right.
It was Nolan Smith.
Yeah.
Because I watch tape on players and I evaluate players, and he wasn't the guy I was going after. It was B.J. Ojulari. Because B.J. Ojulari, he knows how to use his hands. And Nolan wasn't very good with his hands. You know, so when the big uglies get their hands on you and you don't know how to use your hand technique to get them off you, it's lights out. But the script that Nolan has and the improvement that he's shown, he was the second. He was the second. So I'm with you, Spike. I'm with you on that. But wow. I mean, hey, man, congratulations! We Super Bowl champions, man.
Two-time Super Bowl champions.
Two-time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Two times.
Which one? Which one are you talking about? Are you talking about the one from like 7 years ago, or the one that happened Sunday?
Shout out to Clint Hurt too, as the D-line coach, man. I mean, sometimes when you see a player take a major step, it is the coaching and the individual coaching that he's getting on a regular basis. He certainly has to apply himself and go out and put these things into action. But I can tell you, there's a big difference when you got coaches that know what they're doing and can put you in a position to succeed, and you're willing and ready to listen and learn. So, hell, this was Clint Hurt's first year here as D-line coach.
He made a difference.
He made a difference.
He did.
Right?
And you have to –
And I don't even know the other coaches on the staff.
Except for Stoutland.
Right, I mean, on the defense staff. I don't know who the linebacker coach is. Right. I don't know who the secondary coach is.
Yeah, but, well, Clint Hurt is the one assigned to making sure Jalen Carter doesn't kill someone on the sideline.
Well, and he looks like Faison Love, so.
He does.
Yeah, that's why I know who he is.
He also looks like he could play tackle if we needed him
to. Yes, D-tackle.
Yeah, he could. He could. You give him a couple of weeks to get in shape, I think.
D-line, his unit was the best unit.
They were in the Super Bowl? And,
yeah.
And you would say, too, on defense, coming into that game, it is the unit that overall they were good this year, but they weren't. We didn't talk about them the way we talked about the linebackers or the secondary. And for them to get to Mahomes as often as they did and be as effective as they were without any blitzing or anything was it changed the game. I mean, it's why they were able to be as good as they were defensively is because how the defensive line
played. Zero blitzes in the Super Bowl is still the. One of the coolest stats about it.
With six sacks.
Yeah, well, and especially in this city.
Come on, man. We're blitz city, man.
We're a blitz town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got to run the ball. You know, we ran the ball into oblivion, but no blitzing. And there wasn't any calls for more blitzing. Even Seth didn't talk about blitzing.
Which made it be the most shocking thing.
We survived the season without saying, Fangio's got to blitz more.
Yeah. So,
true.
Would you say this town is more of a blitz town or a run play action town? Because they also were definitely just give it to Saquon, then play action. It's either it's blitz on defense, and I feel like we're a play action team on offense, right?
It is shocking that no one's complaining about blitzing.
No.
I mean, that's all we heard on the Jonathan Gannon and Sean Desai. We're not aggressive enough.
Right. Right. And even generally, Vic Fangio this year didn't blitz a whole lot.
He every once in a while, but like you said, that's not a heavy blitz team.
No, he would put an extra guy on line scrimmage occasionally, but it wasn't
He was so locked in, though. Like, didn't he blitz a ton against Jaden Daniels, right? Like,
did he?
It seemed like it was week to week with him. Like, whatever had to happen.
And that's how you should be.
Really,
as a coordinator, that's how you should be.
A versatile defense.
I'll do it. There's nothing better than having the wise old vet coach that's a little ornery, doesn't do a lot of jokes. You know what I mean? He's just not here for the smiles and all that stuff. He gets after you a little bit.
That's a football coach.
That's a football coach.
Yeah, enough of these little tech bro offensive coordinators. That's a football coach. He's at the Nova game last night.
I saw him.
Disappointing. He was not supporting a Philly school. But
I'm sure he's happy spring training is starting.
Dude, he's with me 42 days.
Yes.
It's funny. You're right. Defensive coordinators, you think of old grumpy guys.
Yeah.
And for offensive coordinators, you think of a guy you want to shove in a locker.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. He's a smart guy. Yes.
Yeah. You look at Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. And it's like, oh, there it is.
It's kind of like Rube versus ESP.
Yes.
Rube is the defensive coordinator.
Yes.
ESP is the offensive coordinator.
Okay, I like that.
If ESP were like 10 times smarter.
Sure.
Wow.
Physically, though.
Well, he deserves it after his little nonsense tweet again today.
Oh, I'm gonna have
he's
to
enjoying
mute him.
The championship.
He is thirsting it up. He's engagement farming on the internet. That's all he is. Nothing he says is honest at this point. Usually ESP, I believe what he's saying at this point, he's just fishing for likes. So, coming up next, Saquon was on the Howard Stern Show.
Oh, we're still doing media tours.
Yes. And he did have one thing that he wasn't happy with the fans about.
Ooh, okay.
One thing. And we will hear what Saquon said next. Your calls as well. Who surprised you most on Tell the Truth Thursday? 215-592-9494. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Why don't they just let me live? I don't need permission, name my lone decision. That's my prerogative.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Come on, man. That's Bobby B, man.
That is the peak of Bobby Brown. See, yeah. That and Roni.
This is why they won the Super Bowl. 22 horrible music choices. Yeah. All the way down to Uzi, whatever.
Yep.
This year, they got DMX, this Bobby song.
Brown. They went back to old school this year. Yeah. Yes.
Many men. Yes.
Think about it. Old school and training camp. Old school music.
Yeah.
That's why they won the Super
Bowl. I'm wondering where Jalen has an old school soul, but he doesn't do...
He's more of a 90s guy.
Soulful music, yeah.
Yeah. He's more of a 70s guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering where
this came from?
Where the old school hip hop came from on the team.
Well, Nick's about our age, isn't he? Is he a little younger?
Are we trusting Nick with the music?
I don't know. He knew all the words to My Prerogative.
Yeah. He looked right at Elliot when the Many Men started playing and said, videotape this and get it out there.
Yeah. Maybe I'm underestimating Coach as to what's on his list, his Spotify list.
Don't judge a book by its cover. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers congratulates the Birds on a championship. Make her feel like a world champion with a custom diamond engagement ring from Marks. Online at marks-jewelers.com. On Tell the Truth Thursday, our question is, who surprised you the most on the Eagles this year? And the first response is the defense. And that is not a good response. Because it's got to be one person.
Right.
It's got to be one person. So the defense surprised us all, except for Corey, who knew everybody was great, as I expected. But you got to pick one person. I think the defense is a good thing, but we want to know specifically who surprised us.
We're giving love to individuals.
Yes. We are a team full of individuals. So 215-592-9494, Yoshi and Brewery Town, you're on WIP.
Spike, Big Ike, Jackie, baby, still champions, baby. And what's poppin'?
What up, Yosh?
Happy Thursday. And the question yesterday, I'm basking in this all the way to September 4th, Thursday.
Me too.
September 4th. That's how long, what's the name? I'm tweeting about it every day. I'm popping off every day. What's the name? Every day I'm sending my Dallas Cowboys family eyeballs. That's all I'm saying to. They had called me Ike and congratulated me. And you know what I did? I sent them back, Chad Ocho Cinco. Child, please, get out of here. What's the name? Leave me alone. Leave me alone. And you know what, man? What's the name? The person who surprised me the most, it took 24 years for the person to do the same thing exactly that was done in 2002. Howie Roseman picked a cornerback and a cornerback, what's the name, in the first and the second round. And the last time we did that was in 2002 with Lito Shepard at 26, Sheldon Brown at 59. This year it was 24 and 40. He surprised me by doing something we had not done in 22 years.
And we paid a running back, by the way. That was another surprising thing.
Hey, boy, you ain't even let me finish.
Oh, sorry.
Like,
sorry,
let me finish talking.
Sorry,
because I ain't even touched on you killed Bobby Brown in your first year on the daggone show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And we partied to Bobby Brown the other night, and you killed Bobby Brown.
I did not kill him. I just,
yes,
I was thinking of Whitney.
You know what? I screen recorded the call, what's his name, so I can bring it up later on. I'll play it for you when I see you.
All
you
right.
Said, isn't Bobby Brown dead?
Well, because I was thinking of Whitney. That's why. I was just...
But no, man, you know I love you, Spike. What's the name? No, man, for me, it's Howie Roseman by going out there and doing that, signing the running back, getting two cornerbacks. Not only did he get two cornerbacks, he got the number two rated cornerback and the number five rated cornerback in the 2024 draft. And that says so much. That boy surprised me by doing that. And then going out and paying Saquon Barkley the money that he paid him, like, that's big. That is big. Those dudes, what's the name, they just shut down everything soon as Coop came in. Quinion was already doing his thing. Sat Maddox down. Coop came in, and I don't remember Quinion giving up nothing to Scary Terry in that second game, and Coop was named in that daggone Carolina game when it was some white-on-white crime
Adam Thielen.
But outside of that, man, what's saying, them boys just, they were shut down. And I love OG Way. OG, you my dude. Stop trying to stir the pot. AJ, look, man, AJ is a dude that battles with himself. And AJ and Jalen, in my opinion, is not Donovan and Terrell. Because Jalen is calmer, and his armor is thicker, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then with AJ, he's wild. He's a wild child. But T.O. has not taken accountability in over 20 years for the part that he played. And daggone AJ reading the book, self-expressing himself and saying where he's wrong at with the different things I've seen him say, that's taking accountability. You still gonna battle those demons, but he's trying to correct the things within himself he's doing. The boy put up that he ready to go back to work. He don't want nobody shine. He gave Jalen so much praise on that Fox podium after that game without hesitation. And we know he don't fake the funk for nobody. He praised Jalen. He told people who Jalen was. So if you didn't understand him, I'm going to give you a little bit of him so you can understand him more. And then he has so many celebratory moments on his page of late with him and Jalen. So let's stop staring the pot already. And AJ ain't going to daggone New England because Vrabel was his coach in Tennessee, and he grew up loving the Patriots. He just won a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Patriots ain't got nothing going on. You think that boy want to take a step back? H-E-11, no, it ain't doing. But how rules my dude? I love y'all, Cap. Hey, Reese, we champions all the way to next February, but we going to bask in it to Thursday 2025. September 4th. Give me my Negro! And Bobby Brown is fat and alive.
All right. All right.
Nah.
Gotcha.
All right. He's living good.
You know, Yoshi's saying he's going to celebrate to next February. I'd like to remind Yoshi that...
Next September.
Oh, okay. Because we did boo the Eagles at halftime.
Right.
Yeah, the first game. But that was even a celebratory.
Well, they deserved it.
Well, it was like, we got to show we still have it. You know what I mean?
Right. Show that we're still tough.
Yeah.
I'm fine with AJ being who he is 100%, and he'll get this out of his system. I do sort of see the other side. If I was a big Jalen Hurts defender guy or whatever, and I saw that the 2 days after the Super Bowl, I would perceive it as at least a somewhat of a slight. If I were in that position, I guess what I would say is if I were thinking that way, I could understand why you would see that as a slight.
OG has his sort of radars up on AJ.
Yes, he has for a while.
Yeah, he's been this way.
Well, even Corey said it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think it's just whatever it is, he's tweeting his way through whatever it is he's going through and thinking about. And I don't really think it's anything major because, quite frankly, I don't think the quarterback pays any attention to any of it.
Yeah, well, I don't think he does either.
Yeah, I just think Jalen is gone about doing whatever he's doing. So if there's one guy that's, even if he is stomping his feet or what have you, if no one's reacting to it, pretty soon he's just going to be over there stomping his feet on his own.
Yes.
Whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you kind of got to just let him get it out of his system, and he'll be all right in a couple weeks.
Maybe Howie gives him another contract.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. So Saquon Barkley was on the Howard Stern show yesterday, and I mentioned that there was one thing that he didn't quite get, didn't really love from fans at the Super Bowl, and here's how that conversation went.
From where you're sitting, do you think Travis Kelce's going to marry Taylor Swift, or what do you think? What's going to happen there?
Hey, I have no idea. I will say this, though. They showed her on the Jumbotron, and she got booed. I don't get it. I don't get why she was getting hate there.
I didn't like that either.
Yeah, she's just there supporting her significant other, and she's made the game bigger. You know, we're all about how can we expand the game and make it more internationally, and we're traveling to Brazil, and we're traveling to Mexico, and her being a part of it is only helping it. So I don't get the slack that she's getting. I can't give you an answer.
It's a game. Lighten up a little bit, you know?
So they booed her because she's cheering for the Chiefs. I mean, that's why they booed her. I think she's a little overexposed. Probably the football fan is like enough already. Mm-hmm. But I don't care that they booed her. She's cheering for the Chiefs. I mean, I understand why she was surprised by it, but it doesn't bother me. Did it bother you?
No, none of this stuff bothers me. Oh, okay. This is all a bunch of nonsense surrounding a game. Taylor Swift is a public figure. She's in a pro-Eagles crowd where the majority of the fans are Eagles fans. This is how Eagles fans react. That's obviously, she's never been to the game at Lincoln Financial Field rooting for the opposing team. Oh, she would have already been booed.
Yeah, she would have been booed here.
Exactly. So everywhere else she's been either Arrowhead Stadium or in a crowd. I don't know. She didn't go to the Buffalo game, right? Last year when they beat the Buffalo Bills. I don't think she was there.
In Buffalo?
I don't know. When Jason was jumping out of the suite and all that.
Right.
I can't remember if Taylor Swift was there.
I don't remember.
But she's normally in a crowd that's usually pro-Chiefs.
Right.
So, of course, she's not getting booed. That was probably the first time she's been booed. You think Taylor Swift is used to being booed?
Yeah, actually, I thought it was kind of funny.
Probably the first time she's being booed. Well, you're going up against a fan base that doesn't care that you're Taylor Swift.
Right.
Well, first of all, they recognize the fact that you were an Eagles fan, and now you're rooting against them.
Which is even worse.
So Eagles fans are knowledgeable. They're very knowledgeable. And Saquon, in his first year with us, is learning that still. I always tell people, I said this about AJ after the first year. It was funny because it was something we were talking about on the show, Fritz, back then. And I was like, well, AJ only really knows the good side of the Eagles fans.
Well, that's how last year ended.
Yeah, because his first year, he went to the Super Bowl. Like, you haven't seen the other side of the fan base when we're upset at you.
Yeah, everything's great here. Saquon's never been on the other side.
Yeah, he hasn't been on the other side.
Yeah.
So
we do both. We're great when it's great, and we're horrible when it's bad.
It's our fan base, man. We ain't changing for nobody. I didn't think it was a big deal. And I'm glad she didn't, other than her facial response to it, she didn't tweet something or anything of that nature.
Yeah,
so
she's smart enough.
Yeah, she didn't pour fuel on the fire.
Channeling Michael Jordan, she would say, Eagles fans spend money too, you know? And
right.
That's why she doesn't want to. And plus, we have our new Queen Anne Hathaway, which is our Eagles fan.
I need her out there saying something.
What's that?
I need Anne Hathaway out there and more than just the Super Bowl.
She better be at the parade tomorrow.
What if she is? Does she get to be a fan then, Jack? She's
still monitoring. Yeah, we have to monitor.
It's still easy to be a fan right now. It's easy to attach yourself. See, here's where I kind of understand where Jack is coming from.
Thank you.
Jack has rules, all these rules of being a fan.
He does. Even though they don't necessarily apply to him all the time, mm-mm. He's still gatekeeping for the rest of the fans. There's a badge of honor that comes along with being an Eagles fan, especially the diehards, because you've gone through the bad times as well. And you didn't abandon the team.
Right.
You've gone through when we get ripped as a fan base and how we don't appreciate this guy or this coach or this and that and the other when the national media wants to dump on the fan base. I don't see Anne Hathaway jumping out there to defend Eagles fans when something like that is going on.
And, you know, it's why I'm not even happy for, like, the 15-year-old kid right now who's been through three of this. Like, yeah, get some hair in your chest, okay?
See, he's not
now,
even
don't
letting...
be upset at the kids.
Nah,
it's not their fault.
Exactly.
See?
They're born at the right time, and they get to enjoy all of this.
I grew up in the early 2000s. That was my Eagles.
Hold on. This guy talking. He's seeing three. He's going to be a part of three championships.
Yeah, I could say the same thing about you.
Yeah.
You're 30, right?
Yeah.
Your entire life, the Eagles have been competitive.
Good. Yes.
But also peak heartbreak.
No. What about the? You're not allowed to be a fan until you went through what Eagles fans in the 80s and 90s
right.
went through. How about that?
Right.
You didn't experience Rich Kotite. You didn't experience Norman Brayman. You didn't experience not winning a playoff game with Buddy Ryan.
Right.
You didn't experience all those things.
Exactly.
You didn't experience letting Reggie White go to Green Bay.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. You didn't, Jack. So maybe you shouldn't be at the parade.
Well,
let Anne Hathaway in.
Many people would say I don't deserve to be at the parade.
I love the fact this is about Anne Hathaway. Way with you.
Yeah. He's on the pathway to Hathaway.
Yes, he is.
Well, I
you with the 15-year-old kid. Don't be mad at the 15-year-old kid that gets to enjoy winning.
They're basically that kid in Boston with the 10 championship rings. Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I told my kids they're spoiled.
Yeah.
They are spoiled.
You ought to grow up when I played.
They are spoiled.
I should have been here when I played.
Well, they did go through Chip. They went through the Carson controversy.
They were too young to know Chip. They didn't really know what the hell was going on.
Yeah,
yes.
That was a crazy time.
Yes.
That was not a happy time, Chip. We have one happy season with Chip, really, right?
Oh, well, come on, man. 2013 was awesome.
Yeah.
First year.
Yeah. That was cool. Even the first game when when was it the Redskins
Washington.
Where they were calling timeout, where they were faking injuries to get timeouts.
Yeah.
We were like, we have a whole new, we're going to ruin everyone.
Yeah. You've had three bad seasons with the Eagles, I believe.
Yeah.
Andy's last year.
20. And what would be another bad year?
The year Donovan tore his ACL.
Was that a 5-11 season?
Was that no? Because wasn't that the year that Garcia got out?
No, that was
Garcia
the next
was
year.
06.
Yeah, the 05 season was pretty bad.
Yeah, but even that's too young.
You were nine.
Right. Yeah, for this generation.
No, even you.
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there needs to be some gatekeeping. There's
right.
a lot of people that are now jumping on the bandwagon thinking this is easy.
You got to be at least 40 to gatekeep. Fans are out here. You can't gatekeep.
Well, hold on.
You're not old enough.
I went through 2012 to 2022 with the Fells.
Well, that's different.
Many people
that's different.
After four awesome years, though.
Five
awesome years.
Yeah. Break it down to opening day, Cedric.
I mean, hold on, six. I'm not even including 07.
Oh, 07 was the best.
Yeah, include 07, too.
Come on,
the
man.
Years when Odubel Herrera was the best player on the team. The
former All-Star Odubel Herrera.
Yeah,
who could forget?
215-592-9494. Tell the Truth Thursday. Who surprised you most on the Eagles this year? Seth in media, you're on WIP.
I thought you were going to say Seth Joyner.
No, he has not called us.
What's up, Seth?
What's going on, boys? Just enjoying this championship all weekend. You know what? I was born in 79, so I came up through the 80s, and I think it's perfectly reasonable to put the city on notice about Jack's suspect fandom here with the Eagles.
Yeah, but I don't think
I gatekeep.
You know, he'll go to the parade, but you know he's wearing a Phillies jersey, right?
I did pack.
Oh,
it,
that's
yeah.
for sure. Yeah, just to remind everybody, pitchers and catchers.
Well, that's also to get noticed more easily.
P's and C's.
Oh,
yeah.
Spikes on to you.
I didn't even pack
it. He's on to you. Spikes on to you.
I didn't even pack it.
Okay.
Jesus.
So we
We got a guy coming up this way, came up this way this morning, not necessarily further than Florida, but I thought it was interesting. 2 days ago, we called to make sure that he knew he was coming into town for the parade. He made an appointment to get his Eagles tattoo, like, right out of the gate. So he made sure he had that time put aside. So I think that's cool, man. Guys are like people coming in from out of town, like just holding that spot down. And I think it's cool, man. I think the way the fans embrace all this stuff is wild.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to make the parade. I'm heading up to Massachusetts tomorrow, but I'll be listening to it. And that's what I did last time. And I shared this moment with this guy at in a Lowe's parking lot. We're both sitting in our cars listening to the Kelce speech the last time around because I didn't make it to the parade that time. I had to work. So we're sitting there and we're looking at each other and the Park comes on where he starts naming all the players, and we look at each other and we're dying laughing, and we're like, I can't believe this is happening right now. And it was just like, it was cool to have that moment and listen in on the air and everything like that. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, if you're listening now, anyone who's listening, we will have complete parade coverage tomorrow. We'll be there from the morning show all the way through our show, and you'll be able to hear all the speeches on WIP as well. Yeah. And I would like to request to the Philadelphia Eagles that make sure, you know, I know one or two bad words is going to fly. We have a limit as to how many we can catch, and if you could just be conscious of that.
Just space them out for us.
Space them out.
21 seconds. 21 seconds between curse words.
Yeah.
There's no way the big Aussie is going to follow those rules, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's going to be the worst one. Yeah.
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 He's going off the hinges for sure. You know, there's so many. It's a great topic today. There's so many people to pick from with, like, who surprises who. And I think Corey really, like nailed it down with a bunch of different things. Before I get to my player, I just want to say we got to put all this Jalen Hurts nonsense to rest. Put it to rest. He is one of the best quarterbacks in the league for sure. So I'm tired of hearing it. I like, you know, they're like, well, if so-and-so didn't make that sack, if the defense didn't make this play, this dude drops dimes all the time. He has up games and down games and happens to the best of the quarterbacks, you know, to the best of the players. But he is, when he is in, like, what do the best players do, right? They play their best game at the brightest moment. Mm. And that's exactly what this dude does. That's exactly what he does. I'm so tired of this nonsense. He is a baller. He is a gamer. And I dare anybody to keep saying that. Because you know what? The more people talk smack about this dude, the more championships he's going to lay out in Philly. Period.
Mm. There you go, Seth.
Jack, anything?
Nothing? Nope. What? Nope. Got nothing.
We're not doing
not today.
Yeah, we're not doing
give
that
me,
this
give
week.
Me a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, trust me, you think the topic's over. It ain't over.
I'm just busting.
Oh, no, they just let you have it. They let you go with it. Yeah, they you let know, you go
not
with
on
it.
This week.
We're being adults, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, just being adults about it. And the guy's Super Bowl MVP. Not much you can say this week, but as soon as March comes, you can say whatever I want. So, who surprised you the most, Seth?
Next year, it's going to be... Sirianni, man, the way he turned everything around. I always liked him as a coach. You know, I know he's a little quirky and he had his kind of like moments and everything, but that Browns game was like a moment where I had to go like, man, like, why is he yelling at the fans? Like, what the heck? Like, we got a W out of this. Like, what's going on? And it was a little weird, but man, seeing the way that those players embraced him at the end of the year and all the, like, the behind the scenes stuff, man, you talk about being a leader. That's exactly what that guy does. And he might have other people there to call the plays and everything, but I was surprised at just how effective he is as a head coach. And I'm ride or die with those guys for the indefinite future.
All right, Seth, appreciate you calling and thanks for the memory from last year. I think Sirianni learned something too from that Cleveland experience, because remember we had heard that the organization was not particularly happy with what he did there.
Sure.
And it takes, you know, it takes a grown up to look at yourself and go, hey, you know, maybe,
you know, he got a little too emotional.
Yeah. Did a little too much. But by the way, the players didn't dislike what he did at all that day.
No, they had his back because they felt the same way.
Right.
There's one thing when you're inside that bubble and your work and effort is being scrutinized and criticized, it can either pull you apart or band you together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these guys decided to do. They didn't decide to point fingers at each other like, don't blame me, blame him. No, they all kept their mouth shut, talked about how there's a lot of football left to go. And, you know, you even heard players saying the first few weeks was a preseason. We didn't really have a preseason. These are things that you just tell yourself to sort of get through the moment. It wasn't as if they weren't going out there and trying, because had they been 4-0, nobody would have said anything about preseason football.
Right. Yeah.
So, and you certainly were a play away from being 3-1
mm-hmm.
if you catch the ball in the Atlanta game.
Yep. It would
have easily been 3-1. So, when that happened with him, to me, what it showed me was it was residue from the end of the season when the players who decided to speak up and speak out and in support of Nick, they weren't about to let this happen to the team. So you almost had from the ending of the season, and you had a lot of players saying, it ain't Nick, it's on us. It's on us. They took that into that as well. Like, okay, our coach is catching a lot of heat. He's standing up here defending our play and riding for us. Of course, we're riding for him. So when he did that with the fans, you're going to get players like, yeah, get him, coach. Like, yeah, they, you know what I mean? Like, that's what it was. Even though it wasn't a good look.
Right.
Even though it wasn't a good look, they were still trying to show their support for him. Man, when they decide to tell the story of this season, that bye week, what went into that bye week, coming out of that bye week, man, there's a lot of there's got to be a lot of stuff behind the scenes, meetings, discussions, tough talks that took place that helped shape who this team was. Because I'll tell you another thing. They weren't completely out of the water of analytics involving themselves in the game.
Sure.
Because that was still going on for a few games.
Yep.
And at some point, they got out of the way and let Nick start doing more coaching by feel.
Well, and it's funny. You say they were a catch away from being 3-1, which you're right. But if you talk about the Green Bay game was maybe a pick six away from being a loss.
Yep.
And the Saints game was, what, 15-13?
Oh, they definitely could have lost that Saints game.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, so 3-0 in the fourth quarter.
It's so amazing to look at those first four games. Yep. You know, which
well, they weren't playing like a 3-1 team.
No, they were not.
So, that's for sure.
All right, coming up next, Sheil Kapadia, who has joined us all year through the ups and mostly ups of this Eagles season.
Oh, did Sheil take the Chiefs?
No, he took the Eagles. Remember,
he had a very descriptive final way.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He did. Yeah.
Not even close. What an idiot, by the way.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Wasn't close.
I don't know whose picks were close. Mine wasn't close either.
No.
Actually, you know who was right? All the callers.
There were a lot of blowout calls. Yeah.
And we would roll our eyes every time because they're not going to blow them out. All right, whatever. Beat your chest a little more. So, Sheil joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.